House, 105 of his fellow Republicans joined 206 Democrats in expelling New York's George Santos from the House. Speaker Mike Johnson making it official.
Under Clause 5D of Rule 20, the chair announces to the House that in light of the expulsion of the gentleman from New York, Mr. Santos, the whole number of the House is now 434.
Correspondent Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill.
I think it's important to note that members were told to vote in their conscience. Leadership was not whipping a vote. Democrats were not whipping a vote on this. So, you know, that does give members the freedom to vote as they wish.
Santos faces nearly two dozen indictments for fraud and identity theft. And although he maintains his innocence, a House ethics report says the evidence against him is overwhelming. Sandra Day O'Connor is being remembered as a trailblazer, as the first female Supreme Court justice, and someone who truly made a difference there. O'Connor has died at age 93. CBS's Steve Kathan.
Sandra Day O'Connor was an Arizona appellate judge when President Reagan invited her to the White House to discuss a seat on the Supreme Court. Afterwards,
I said to myself, thank goodness, I don't have to go do that job.
Because O'Connor was not sure if she was qualified, especially since no woman had ever sat on the court in its two-century history.
I've often said that it's great to be the first, but you don't want to be the last. And if I didn't do it well, it might be.
O'Connor served from 1981 to 2006 when she retired to care for her husband, a dementia patient. She went public with her own dementia diagnosis in 2018. Israel says Hamas broke the temporary truce, so its military is fired back. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Hamas fired a few rockets even before the truce was officially over. And Hamas also did not provide a new list of hostages that it is willing to free. And Israel responded with airstrikes. But this time, as opposed to the airstrikes having been in the north of Gaza, now they're first striking the south, the city of Khan Yunis, which has long been kind of a Hamas stronghold.
The country's largest publisher is among those suing Iowa over book bans in public schools.
Penguin Random House and four authors joined several teachers, a student, and the teachers union in Iowa in filing the suit. They say the law violates the Constitution's guarantee of free speech. The law also bans books containing references to sexual orientation and gender identity for students through sixth grade. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
The Dow is up 233 points. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This winter, the Wisconsin DOT reminds you that snowplow drivers work hard to keep us all safe, so let's return the favor. Slow down, give plows room to work, and know before you go with 511WI.gov. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two people are dead and another suffered minor injuries after a crash in Adams County on November 29th. The two vehicles crashed a little after 2:30 on Wednesday afternoon. It happened at the intersection of County Highway M and G in the township of Lincoln in Adams County. When deputies arrived, they found both Jane and James Kronschnibbel unconscious in their vehicle. Deputies were able to extricate them from the vehicle and life-saving measures were initiated. James succumbed to his injuries and was pronounced dead at the scene. Jane was flown by helicopter to the hospital, but she also died of her injuries. Both were aged 83 of Montello, Wisconsin. The driver of the other vehicle received minor injuries and was taken to a local hospital. The incident remains under investigation. The Nakusa Hometown Christmas is tomorrow, December 2nd, from 9 to 3 at the Community Center. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 24 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again, tomorrow, 37. A dusting of snow, tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 1st, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, get a preview of A Candle in the Window, their holiday play coming up. Right now, joining us on the phone, our friend, Wisconsin State Assembly District 72 Representative Scott Krug. Scott, good afternoon.
Good Good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing good. It's been a while. We didn't get a chance to talk last month, so it's good to have you here with us.
I got stuck in the Capitol on a Friday, which never happens. Last month we were getting ready to get our 23 election bills ready for the floor session that week, so I'd basically held an open office hours for anybody that wanted to come amend anything that day, and just got caught up in work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understand. Hey, the day job comes first, man. That's understandable. I'm curious, how did that go?
It was great. I don't think in my 13 years down there that we've ever had a whole day for one topic on the floor. So we had 20 bills, 3 constitutional amendments. We went through that entire docket of bills in maybe 5 or 6 hours, which in any other given time, if you didn't work bipartisanly, would take 13 to 16 hours. I mean, it was great. It was a good example of what happens when you can sit down with each other and listen and work through things and know that you're not going to agree on all of them, but most of them. So just all of that work made it an easy day, actually.
You know, certainly one of the things that I don't have to tell you, you deal and your colleagues deal with is the idea that we want more done from our politicians. We want more bills passed, want more things done, more and more and more. So I don't know if this counters that or not, but do you think we need more of that, Scott? Well, more of what you experienced through that?
Yeah, I think we need more conversation. I'm always one that likes to say, you know, I actually like working in a split government, right? Because only the best bills get done. Because when you have just one party controlling everything, you just kind of throw everything at the wall and it all gets through. And then I always tell people that, you know, every time we pass a bill, there's always unintended consequences. So it seems like when we pass bills and become laws, we almost create another problem somewhere else. So it's nice not to have too many bills, but it's nice to have a lot of conversation to make good bills.
Mm-hmm. Scott, if you don't mind, as I mentioned, we didn't get a chance to talk last month, so I would like to rewind a little bit with you and talk about some of the events of November, especially so many of them being very noteworthy. The Committee on Campaigns and Elections, you met with members of the committee. You met 2 times in November. Can you tell us what you guys discussed and how that went?
Yeah, I think the biggest one, the biggest takeaway, I think, is something we've been working on for about 4 years now, and this was the Monday processing of absentee ballots. So the way that Wisconsin counts its ballots has led to a lot of confusion over the last few elections, where we've got so many numbers of absentee ballots, and it's growing and growing every year because people are appreciating the ability to absentee vote. But Wisconsin doesn't process them, but, you know, open them, count them, register them, mark them in the elections book, give them serial numbers. All that processing doesn't happen until election day. So when there's gobs and gobs and gobs of absentee ballots, takes them all day in bigger cities to get counted. Some people tend to think that at the end of the day, when there's a dump of 200,000 votes into the tally, that new ballots were found somewhere, or that there was some fraud going on, because where did all these ballots come from?
What do they think? This is Chicago? Come on. I can make that joke.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. It's all these absentee ballots that, if like 38 other states process them ahead of time, mm-hmm. so they can just count them on election day, right?
I don't want to make light of election integrity by any means, but it is getting to a point where it... I don't think it's ever silly to question these things or to question government. I encourage people to do that. I think that's important. I also think it's important to be an adult, and once you get answers, that you need to move on as a society. We have people out there that are still barking about the last presidential election and everything. So I do you think that with more and more of this being done, that we get away from more and more of that? And people believe in the election system more and more.
That is exactly the whole point of this bill in particular, is that I've said from the beginning when I took on this job as the chairman of that committee that 90% of our problem can be solved by this bill becoming law, where we've got the results that are available to people in this instant need for information society. People want to know right away who won. We need to know on election day, not the day after, not 3 days after. We need to know on election day. But we've also got to do it right. So we can't just do speed. We got to be accurate. So mm-hmm. letting this process start a day earlier, so everything is ready to go on election day. So by 10 o'clock on election night, for example, we can have a great idea who won an election before we all go to bed. So nobody wakes up in the morning and say, hey, my guy was winning and now he lost overnight. Something had to have happened. I get where people can get that perception from. I'm not blind to where that perception can come from. But I also want to make sure people understand that this can be fixed pretty easily, like 40 other states have done already. So it's just a great example, and Republicans and Democrats worked really hard together on this bill. We started talking to the Democrats at the beginning of the session. This is the idea. Engaged them in the Assembly and over in the Senate, and then even went to the governor's office and said, okay, what are the red lines in the sand here that you are not going to like in this bill? Because there are certain things that we need to get done and certain things that you will probably veto that are going to cost us the good things that need to get done. Mm. So the governor's office actually gave us their ideas. Right. And I don't think that happens very often where the legislature reaches out to the executive branch saying, hey, just let us know what too far is so we don't cross it and waste all this time. So engaging in those conversations at all those different levels, getting all the stakeholders and county clerks and municipal clerks and everybody to the table to say, OK, this is what we need. This is what we think. This is what you think. Let's find this middle ground. It made a bill that went through on a voice vote in the state assembly. So it's an amazing, amazing process to get something that significant done with that little heartburn from anybody else.
It really speaks to what we can do when we can put things aside and work together and reach across the aisle.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and even beyond the bill, it's just the friendships that we get to build amongst committee members. I mean, I've got, six Republicans on the committee and three Democrats. And to be honest, I only knew one of the Democrats really well before that because she was on another committee I chaired last session. But I've got to meet these other two members on their side of the aisle, quote unquote, and got to become really good friends that we text and talk and hang out. And I mean, it's just building those relationships has been even a bigger thing to me than just getting some of these bills done, is because it's important that, how you treat people instead of, getting your stuff done and being the most important person in the room.
Scott, I was doing some work with Pam earlier, and we were talking about this, and you and I have been talking about 6 or 7 years now that we've been doing this, which really threw me for a second there. I did not realize it's been that long. You poor, poor man. But when it comes to that, what you're talking about right there, this is something we've been discussing since our first conversation, the importance of bipartisanism. Now, where we are now with this, I think that we have such an opportunity, not an opportunity, it's something that's actually happening in real time. Wisconsin is such an example to the rest of the union of a purple state and what can get done in a purple state. I think that's all the more reason why it's so vital going forward in a brand new year with new elections coming up to get away from the divisiveness and show so much more of a connection. If you're running against somebody, you can stand on your own word. You don't have to trash talk them. Just do your own thing. I think we're seeing more and more of people wanting that out of their politicians, and hopefully we'll see more of that come election season. We'll touch actually a little bit more on campaigns in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've decided from my first campaign on. My wife has always told me that I'm not going to do that, or she's not going to support any more of my efforts to run. I mean, it's an easy choice for me to take that path. Yeah. Because I don't even ever mention my opponent's name when I'm running. I don't need to. I can work on I can pitch people on what I've accomplished and the ideas that I have coming up. So it's so much easier. And I've actually branded this thing that we've been doing at the Capitol with this bipartisan push, calling it a new way forward. It's spreading to other committees in the assembly to say, okay, why don't you sit down with your members on the other side, figure out what's going to work, get it moved forward, get it to the governor's desk. Let's get these things done. So it has been great to swim against the tide, so to speak, and actually accomplish a lot of this stuff.
Scott, I mentioned campaign season, and it seems like it's right around the corner. And really, I was joking actually on the air earlier about this. It's a little like the NFL, where there is no off season anymore. Politics is kind of like that, where it seems like it's always campaign time. With that being said, a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers is circulating a bill that will require candidates and political groups to tell the public when they use artificial intelligence to generate audio or video in their ads. Scott, I can't think of anything there's two parts to this for me. One, how important you think this is. And two, how ridiculous is this that we need a bill for this? That we're at this point in the political game. For one, that people might not be able to tell a difference. And that two, that we actually have to worry about this kind of stuff. We've got so much on our plate already as a society to worry about. Now we have this kind of thing. How important is this bill to you?
So this is really actually the top thing I need to get done yet this session. So back in, I think it was March, I had a reporter call me from New York Times or Washington Post or something or other talking about, you know, campaigns in Wisconsin and how close our elections always are. And I didn't really have much that I could tell her besides, you know, what I'm going to tell you on artificial intelligence, because she asked, well, what about these deep fakes? Other states are dealing with this. I'm like, I don't know. We haven't even thought about it here in Wisconsin. So we started researching a little bit and seeing what other states are doing, like Washington State in particular and some of the East Coast states where it actually had become a real problem. And it had kind of escaped me that AI is growing so rapidly that there's applications in campaigns and elections and how we process information. So I appointed a couple of members of our committee to take on the issue. So the bill is set. It's going to come to campaigns and elections in January. They were going to have hearings based on the work that the Speaker's Task Force on Artificial Intelligence also worked on. So it became a huge issue right after this reporter called to say, okay, well, yeah, we better think about this a little bit because, yeah, it's real. AI is taking, technologically advancing more than anything else in our society. So we've got to start figuring it out. So putting some disclaimers on some things that are fake is just a good safeguard to make sure people consume the right information.
You mentioned, unintentionally or not, that was a good way of giving a tip of the hat to journalism and how much we still need journalism. But also, talking about this, and I know it's a new topic with you and your colleagues, but talking about it with them, do you see kind of like a 100% everybody kind of agreeing with, yeah, we got to get this done?
Yeah, it was. And as soon as we appointed a couple of members to work on this issue, they came together pretty darn quick on what would work and what are the guide rails. And, you know, we've got some pretty young bucks in the assembly right now. I call them our millennial legislators who are all over this. I mean, there's a good group of a dozen or so of these men and women who are, you know, a lot more technologically savvy than I can even say I am at this point, who knew exactly who to go to and talk to and you know, the technology industries, and I mean, they've done a great job on vetting this out. So it was pretty well agreed on pretty quickly.
We are speaking with Representative Scott Krug right now. And Scott, I wanted to get into this one with you as well. You testified last month in front of the Senate Committee on Transportation and Local Government, along with Mick Ferkey. I apologize if I don't get that name right. Mick and you, in support of SB 230. This bill is an effort endorsed by RV dealers, RV manufacturers, to improve and clarify Wisconsin's laws within the rapidly growing RV industry. Another one of those topics where it feels like it could slip through the cracks, but it's one of those ones we got to get figured out as well.
Yeah, I mean, Mick and I have been working on this bill for 6, maybe 7 years now. It was such a big issue in the RV industry, and obviously if you drive down Highway 13 in Wisconsin Rapids, you know we're one of the epicenters for RV dealerships
in
the state of Wisconsin. Because, I mean, it's such a growing industry because of COVID and all the things that people could do to get away and get, you know, some space from each other. And so RVing and camping have become absolutely huge. So we've got these huge manufacturers out in Indiana and other parts of the country who deal with these dealers who are all mostly Wisconsin-based. And there's these disagreements on franchises and how, you know, their process works under Wisconsin law. So there's a lot of technical things in the bill, but basically what it does is it gives these dealers locally some certainty in contracts with manufacturers. So manufacturers can't just willy-nilly pull their agreements, you know, especially like for Mick when he was transferring the business to his son. The manufacturer basically said, well, we don't know your son, so we're going to pull our line from you. Well, I mean, that destroys somebody's business just because of a succession plan. So Mick actually worked on creating an entire lobbying group to pull this together to get RV dealers from across the state of Wisconsin to work together to come up with guidelines that will work. It's a bipartisan bill. It's flying through the assembly and the Senate pretty quickly. Working with the DOT to get some language things done that are going to make some sense, too. It's a big deal for a lot of businesses in the Rapids area to make sure we've got some certainty with their manufacturers that they can conduct business as they need to and not just at the manufacturer's whim.
Certainly has a trickle-down effect, too. It's a part. It's a big part of our economy, especially, as you mentioned, here in central Wisconsin. And the idea of so many people that do come to this state without an RV, looking to buy one, and then travel the state, you know, visiting it and you know, spending dollars up and down the state doing that as well. It's an important one to get figured out on that level.
Yeah, and it just it really speaks again to how, you know, the best bills originate. I mean, this is organic, right? This is generated from a problem that was seen, you know, back home that a constituent raised and said, hey, can you help me with this? That we start vetting through the process, working with the Department of Transportation and other groups. And I mean, it is exactly the best type of bill. It's homegrown, organic type stuff.
I'm curious. I'm looking forward to seeing how that unfolds. Scott, we got about 7-8 minutes left. I want to get into a couple more things with you real quick. But one of the ones I wanted to touch on with you last month, when it may have been a little more a little more topical, but recently our friend, yours and mine, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, announced that he would not be seeking a third term. Shane joined us on the air with that news and kind of broke it for our audience, and we got talking about it. And you know, Shane, he is not. He's not going to put on airs. You ask him a question, yeah, he's going to give you a genuine answer. And so when I asked him why, he was very real about it. A lot of it has to do with the negativity out there and a lot of the keyboard cowards and a lot of these things. No mayor in any town, I don't care how big or how small, should have to deal with death threats. No politician should have to deal with death threats. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you were Henry Kissinger or the most divisive politicians ever. I don't care who you are. Yeah. Nobody deserves that. But here we're losing a great politician, a great man in this area because of these situations. You don't know who's going to fill that spot. You yourself have touched on this a little bit over the years. You see something like this go on with somebody that you're friendly with, you know pretty well. Does it make you think about these things at all?
You know, I think about it all the time, right? I mean, there's always an exit strategy at some point in how you leave and when you leave and why you leave. And I think, you know, everybody's got their own reasons, and I think it's a good time for Shane to reevaluate and do what he wants. And he's been an amazing mayor, and I don't take anything away from him. I mean, one of the reasons, if and when I do leave, I think the last reason I would ever do is because of negativity. You and I talk about it all the time, mm-hmm. that I always try to. That's why I'm there, right? Mm-hmm. Is to fight the negativity and the. You know, whether I get bills done or not, I want to leave it a better place than I inherited it from. And I don't think I don't know if I would ever get to that point where I would leave because of that. I think I would. I always say I've got a book of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as my book of stuff kind of starts getting emptier than fuller, then it's time to go. So yeah, I mean, Shane's been great, but I'm always the kind of guy that's going to stand up and punch a bully in the nose before I let him,
right up.
You know, cause what I'm going to do. But yeah, I was shocked when he decided to go. I think he's done an amazing job and led the city through some really tough times here with the mill closing and, you know, trying to find options for people to stay and live and work and play in Rapids. He's just been a godsend. So I'm looking forward to the next person reaching out and telling us why they're going to be the best choice and helping vet somebody to fill those shoes, because it's a really important thing to me growing up in Rapids that we have a solid mayor like Shane Blazer was.
Yeah, agreed tenfold. You recently had the Christmas tree show up at the Capitol. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's always cool. I mean, that's one of the best times of the year is now that the tree's getting decorated, getting folks down there to see it. I mean, it's always a great story too where the trees always come from. I always like listening to some of these stories, and this one was literally plucked out of somebody's front yard. It's not like a tree farm tree or anything. This is literally the tree picked out of somebody's front yard in Rhinelander that's made its way to the Capitol Rotunda. So it's a great thing to see this tree get put up and spread out, and how they trim it and how they support it. I mean, it's such a huge process to get that thing in there and get it all set up. So I would highly encourage, if you haven't seen it at the Capitol during the holiday season, to get down there before Christmas and check it out, because it's something to behold.
It is beautiful. The pictures are wonderful. Encourage people to check those out. And if you can get to Madison, check it out in person, even better. Head on down there. Never a bad time to head to Madison. Scott, we've done our job. We did it. We were professional. Now we can talk a little sports. We have not gotten to talk about the change at manager for the Milwaukee Brewers. How you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to check in on how you feel.
Right. So I was always a big wrestling fan growing up as a kid, right? And I always said one of the coolest things in wrestling was Hulk Hogan's heel turn when he went to the WCW and got to the NWO going, right? So this Craig Townsend thing is so NWO. How do you see that coming? So, I mean, I kind of look forward to seeing Council come to Milwaukee 18 times next year to get booed. So. Mm.
Do you think in somewhat seriousness, we're talking sports, you can't get too serious about it, but when it comes to that, do you think that this is going to light a fire under the ownership of the Milwaukee Brewers? Because I have heard rumors that they are looking to spend money this offseason.
Well, that's what they just did, I think, yesterday. They're looking to finalize an $80 million contract with a minor leaguer.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
finally taking that money out of the managerial spot and putting it back into the players. So I think that helps. Pat Murphy's going to be a solid guy. He's been there the whole time with Council. So, I mean, you don't need a superstar to manage a team. Look at Mike Schilt when he managed the Cardinals, now getting hired by San Diego. I mean, you can find some guys who don't need to make $8 million a year to manage a team and spend it on the field. So I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, as long as they figure out what they're going to do with Adamas and Burns, if they're going to keep them or trade them, I mean, you know, that's kind of the last piece to see what their direction is going to be. If they send them off, obviously it's a rebuild, but if they keep them, I think they feel pretty good about their chances of getting back to the playoffs again. So
it looks like the manager in waiting is Ricky Weeks. How do you feel about that?
That one I'm not so huge on yet. I mean, you know, we kind of always go through this thing in Milwaukee where we got to have a hometown guy end up being the manager. I mean, it worked out great with Council, but it doesn't always work out when you try to force it. So I'm glad they didn't put him in there right away and let him learn the ropes, because he really hasn't managed anywhere else. But it's always cool to see hometown guys, but you kind of got to be careful sometimes being that big of a homer to try to make sure you're going to win a World Series. So you got to find the right person, not just the person from home.
Yeah, you look at a couple of organizations that have done that over the years, not gone very well for them. So
David Ross, the Cubs situation.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I thought it would have been a great trade. Just bring Rossi up here.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I thought he was a perfectly fine manager. So I if I was a Brewer fan, I would have been all right with that too. I did want to ask about one other thing when it comes to Milwaukee Brewers. Now that it has been settled and the Brewers aren't going anywhere, not that we necessarily thought they were, but it's official and the contract is signed, the team is staying. Do you think that there's any talk of turning the Milwaukee area a little bit like Wrigleyville, a little bit like what Jones did? After the Ricketts did that in Wrigleyville, everybody picked up and started doing it. And Dallas, they've done a similar thing with the Cowboys. Do you think that you could see, certainly maybe not to that extent, but some level of that with the Brewers?
Well, that's what we kind of laid out for them during this legislative process on the bill, saying, hey, you kind of need to start thinking about some of these things like that. You know, like Green Bay is now a title town, like the Bucks have done with the Bucks District. Let's try to make this a little more family-friendly, user-friendly. I mean, it's always a great tradition. I love tailgating on the parking lot at a Brewers game, but it's got to be more. So, I mean, it was nice when they added the Little League Stadium out there, and if they can find ways to improve that area, because honestly, for stadiums across the nation, AmFam Field or Miller Park, whatever you want to call it, is literally the only one that I know of that is in the absolute middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's surrounded by concrete highways everywhere, so you kind of got to figure out a way to start making it a little more user-friendly all around on the outside. So hopefully they just bought a couple of acres on the outskirts, and they'll start developing it a little bit better and more, and give us a little more entertainment value for folks who don't want to just sit in the parking lot and cook some brats and drink some beer. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. Nothing wrong at all with that. We're looking forward to it come spring. Scott, always good talking with you. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's worked out great. When we do this, I give out the phone number, 715-323-3293, and we literally do have people calling as soon as the show gets over. So I encourage it. I leave some time open after we get off the air, and it works out pretty good for people to call with questions.
Really good to hear. Have a great set of holidays, you and yours. Looking forward to talking to you in the new year.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Scott. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up right here on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, and I'm looking forward to being back on the air with you every weekday on the Civic Media Network and on our app, very soon. A big shout out to Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, and of course, our fantastic guests who have been helping to hold down the fort while I've been gone. So I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the last day you can purchase a holiday gift certificate from the Wood County Parks and Forestry during their holiday sale. These gift certificates can be used towards camping at any of the three Wood County parks with no expiration dates. A $100 gift certificate for $75 or a $50 one for only $40. This sale is not available online. You'll need to call or stop in the office. 715-421-8422. This is also the last day to register for the Portage County Electronic and Small Appliance Recycling Event. The Take 2 Recycling Event happens tomorrow, Saturday, December 2nd. Residents of Portage County can bring a maximum of 20 items per vehicle, and you must arrive during your scheduled time slot. Visit co.portage.wi.gov to register. The 7th Annual Christmas Tree Walk starts tomorrow from noon to 4 at the Southwood County Historical Museum. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay. WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 24 tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, 37. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 33.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. For right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com or call 800-803-5505 to speak to an expert. That's 800-803-5505.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 1st, 2023. I have your host, James, with you, and I am joined right now by some of my favorite people. We're talking theater. We're talking Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We are talking local. We are going to be getting into the holiday show from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, A Candle in the Window. We've got a preview of it. We've got some of the cast here with us. I'll run through your guys' names. Go ahead and say hi to the audience so they can recognize your voice. Of course, a voice you'll recognize right away, Mr. Phil Hartley from Quality Plus Printing.
Good morning, James.
I told you you'd recognize that voice. See, it sounds exactly like Phil.
It's I'm here for you.
It's a little different when he's in studio. Yeah, it sounds a little different in studio.
Not what you pictured.
Phil joins us every Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to a new one from you on Wednesday, Phil. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
No, I'm glad to be here, especially with this crew. So.
Yeah, good to have you here. Also, of course, our friend Chris Williams. Chris, good to see you.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's always good to see you, sir. Thanks for being here. We also want to say hi to Jim Rinker. Is that all right, Jim?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, Jim, you got a great first name. I got that right.
You got it right this time.
Good to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. And Ann Bledsoe is with us as well. Good to see you again, Ann.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, you guys. Where I thought would be a good place to start, of course, with a holiday show, you've got usually a classic. And, you know, especially around here at WRCT, we do hits. We do great ones. With a show like this, I don't know if it's as commonly known as others. It's a classic. It's a traditional. But some of those ones have kind of like gotten lost, not being, you know, used for many years and everything. So does anybody want to give a synopsis of the show? Just a Cliff Notes version of the show. Chris, you want to take that?
Sure. The show takes place. It's in an old railroad station in a small town, and there's a group of travelers that get stranded because of a blizzard. And so the story mainly takes place that the first half is the travelers interacting with each other, but in the second half then we have a group of kids that come in. And they were secretly trying to, or putting together a nativity play for their church. And so the second act then takes place, the interaction between the children and the adult travelers. And yeah, I'm trying not to.
Don't give it away, Chris.
You're doing a great job. I think you did a really good job.
He's starting through.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good.
He's doing good.
I think that's a pretty good preview right there. That nicely done.
And it's not just your, it's not like Miracle on 34th Street, or it's not your happy-go-lucky kiddie play. Okay, this play's got some heaviness to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's some, a little dark.
It's uplifting in the end, and you understand it all. But these characters are going through some troubles in their lives, and have to work through them, and we kind of do in about an hour and a half.
Right? In typical theater fashion, yes. I've mentioned this to Gretchen, the play selecting committee, actually, to all of them. I admire this choice. I think that it's a great choice, a very strong choice, too.
Yeah.
Chris? Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm on the play selection committee, and I kind of am the one that pushed this. Try something different, and something people haven't heard of, and everyone seemed to like the synopsis of the show, and that's why we're going with it. So
we've got a great core audience in this area that has supported WRCT for decades, and many of them have shows that they love and like to see. But I've talked to these people, I've performed for these people many, many times, and I hear from them all the time. Hey, I love Oklahoma, but I'd like to see something new. It's nothing against the classics; they're classics. Their legacy is set, but people want to. How are we going to get new people to theaters? How are we going to get people to see these shows? How are going to keep the community theater alive? This is how you do it. You give people something different. You don't just give them Miracle on 34th Street every year, which is nothing against Miracle on 34th Street. I'd love to act in that show, but it's one of these things where you kind of have to walk that balance of these things. And I think you and the play selection committee did a really good job with that.
Thank you.
And I have no doubt with Gretchen at the helm that it's going to continue that way. I'm looking forward to that, actually. I got to go talk to her next week. We got to talk about stuff. And it's not just because I want to get around that stage. And I am just so desperate to be around that stage. It's not bad at all.
When you're coming back, James.
Any second now. Almost thought I did before the break. I want to get into your roles. Real quick before I do, though, something unique about this show as well that I thought was kind of interesting is the casting. You have two groups of cast with this one. You have an adult group, a group one, and a group two. How has that worked rehearsal-wise for you guys? How has that gone for you guys as actors? Phil, I'll start with you. I'm going to keep starting with you, brother, because it's going to go down the line.
No, it's been fun. You're right. There's a core group of the adults, and it's, eight of us or so, roughly. And we're there every night, of course, but they divided the children up. They had so many children try out, and they wanted to try to keep all of them involved. And so we have, six shows total, right? One, two, three, four, five, six. And so half of them are doing three of the shows, and the other half are doing the other three. So it's been different. I mean, the kids all have different skills. Different talents and different ways of portraying the roles.
Absolutely.
So we've, as adults, have to learn to deal with that too.
Yeah, I wanted to give you guys a real shout for that because it's not easy to, always easy working with kids in general. And I love working with kids. I don't mean anything against that. It's just I did a play To Kill a Mockingbird, and we had got three young actors in that, and we had this young lady who was Scout, and she was amazing. She was so good, but she had this problem where she'd be talking you, and then when she'd deliver her line, she'd face the audience, and then she'd come back, and then she'd face the audience, and we couldn't break her from it. This poor kid, I loved working with her, but it was little things like that you run into with kids. Then you have extra sets of kids, so you're kind of adapting to each one of them. Some have their line down, some don't, maybe. But that's gone pretty smoothly, you guys?
A lot of energy in some of
them. Yes, a lot of energy.
A lot of energy some of them.
If only
off and on stage.
It's not like this show has had its set of challenges.
No, it's doing good. The director, Deb, is very even-keeled, and as you know.
Yeah.
And so she's smooth, and Gretchen's been there a lot, too, to help with the children, who she knows so well because of children's theater, right?
Yeah.
And all the experience that she's had with them. That's been a great help too, but I'll say this: as a supposed adult, some of those kids are way more professional than me, both on the stage and off stage. And so, there's a little bit of different levels in, yeah. in those children, but they're phenomenal.
And
some of them have some of the best lines in the play. Mm. So you want to calm them down and keep the energy down a little bit so they get out their lines. Because mm-hmm. they get some really funny, awesome don't you guys lines. Think? Yeah. They put the adults in their place,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
several times in the play. So it's fun.
I love this for many reasons. One, I am a big believer in everybody gets a chance to play. You know, everybody on the basketball team gets a chance to play, you know, no matter what or anything like that. But more so as somebody who is insane about the love of acting and theater, this is creating future theater goers. This is creating future actors. This is only empowering that. Why limit yourself in that? If you have a director and a cast that's okay with it, you can double cast something like this, and you're getting more kids in there, more kids getting a chance to be behind the scenes and see what it's like to be a part of theater. You know, as much as I love theater, not every kid's going to go on to act, but they will go on with these experiences and the confidence they get from that. And I don't believe there's any downside to making our children more confident. No, so this is a win-win-win all across the board.
Yeah, I think so. And it limits their time too, James. I mean, mm-hmm. they're busy, they got schoolwork and a lot going on. I mean, I know as adults we do too, but their focus has to be on schoolwork first. Mm-hmm. So to give them some times where they don't have to be there and they take turns, that's
yeah.
not a bad deal.
To be fair, at 46, my mother still wants me to do theater just to keep me out of trouble.
Yeah.
It's not just the kids. Let's go down the run here and go through your roles and tell us a little bit about these parts. Phil, I'll start with you.
So when I showed up, I think I told you this on the air.
Yeah.
So I get up on stage and they said, Neil. And I did, and I got the part. So I didn't read for any other parts. That was just it.
To be fair, nobody kneels like Phil.
Yeah, that's
great. Kneeler.
Yeah.
Great kneeler.
I see somebody, I kneel.
It's a good kneeler. Good kneeler.
So here we go. So here's the stretch on my part, right? Mm. So it's supposedly, if you look in the script, it's a college-age student, university art student. So definitely an acting job on my part.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Big proportion. So we had to rewrite the script a little bit.
Yeah, just a little.
To fit an old man college student. And so we did that. And so that's where it goes. So I'm a gentleman who's at school taking art classes, but trying to get home because my dad's
Neil, you're playing, correct?
Neil.
Yeah,
Neil.
Corrector. Yeah,
no,
very cool.
It's
good.
It does
it's
reflex
good.
Motion in me, so.
It's very cool. Looking forward to seeing you out there,
thanks.
Man.
Thanks. It's fine. It's a good part.
It's been a little wet. Were you in the last show?
I do Christmas shows.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems to be my niche.
It is.
So
it is.
I'm hanging with it. It's the one time of year where I can get out and I have the time in between things. So
very cool.
But it's fun. And it's always a big cast, and you know, which I enjoy. So
I want to get into more on that a little bit later, actually, with you guys. Jim, can you tell us about your role?
Okay, my role's interesting because I don't come on until the very, very end of the show. But I'm the closer.
Yeah,
the role,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
the
there
role,
you go. Yeah, yeah.
And it's unique for me because this is the first play that I've ever done. So this is a stretch for me outside of comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But I play a station master in the train depot, and I also play the grandson of Charlie over here, which is played by Chris. And like Phil said, we had to rewrite it a little bit because I was supposed to be his age also.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, I don't look like I'm no 20-year-old. So, you know, we had to adapt to that.
Yeah.
But Jim, tell him, it's his first time acting, but you've obviously been to the theater many times. Doing what?
Okay, this is the sixth production in a row. I've helped with stage building for the six shows. And I've also been stage manager for four of the six.
Yeah.
And originally, I was going to take this show off, and I made the mistake of showing up for the audition.
Oh, yeah.
And Gretchen's like, "Hey, would you mind?" And next thing you know, I got the part.
Yeah,
so
man,
yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Jim is a great example of when we encourage people to be a part of community theater, that you don't necessarily have to be on stage. There's so much to do behind the scenes, and we could always use more hands and great-hearted people behind the scenes. And Jim, I have told you this before, and I'd like to be able to say it to your face. You've made some of the greatest sets I've seen, man. You really
thank
have.
You. Thank
like,
you.
I'm insane about acting and the way the bar that I have for these things. And I'm telling you, you hit it and made a new standard. You've made a new standard around here for the way we build our sets. That is going to help us, going back to our other conversation about bringing people into the theater and new people and all that. That adds to that. That helps. That helps just as much as any of us on stage. So incredibly appreciate the work that you and your team are doing with that.
Well, thank you. We've got we do have a very, very good team. Pete, who does the set design, the set that we did for Blythe Spirit was fun. We annihilated the set at the end of the show, and then we had to put it back together for the next show.
Mm-hmm.
And that Yeah, that was fun. That was awesome. Yeah, that was fun.
Anne, can you tell us a little bit about your character?
Hi, James. I'm Violet. Violet Dusselman, like the flower.
How have you been enjoying it, playing Violet?
It's a really fun part, and I wasn't sure if this would be the part that I would take. It looked like a lot of lines, but really, like I said before, it seems actually the lines are pretty well equalized, mm-hmm. I would say, throughout. Oh, yeah. I just have a lot in the first part.
Yeah.
But it's a fun character.
You're doing
it's really a great job.
It is.
Awesome cool. job.
Very that character, very fun character. Anne's character carries the front end of the play. She makes everybody talk to each other and mix, and does it so well. It is a crazy character, to say the least. And it's the fun, one of the funnest roles by far in the play, and she does it really well. Yeah. So.
Well, thank you.
Very cool.
Violet is a crazy lady, spunky senior citizen, and apparently that's not much of a stretch for me to play.
But you carry it off.
Nicely done. Way to get method out of that. Nicely done. Chris, can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Sure. I play Charlie, and Charlie is the station master and kind of brings in the guests and tries to let them know what's going on, take care of things, this type of thing. So my character is kind of a more gentlemanly character and a little bit easy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying not to give out too much.
Right, right. I think you've done a nice job. Nicely done. We're gonna cut your mic right now so we don't give anything away.
Yeah, I know. I'm in through different scenes throughout the show.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to seeing you out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
What is something that pulled you to this role or that you love about playing this role so far, Phil?
This role, it's more the interaction because, and I can't go too deep either, I suppose, but the interaction with Anne and Heather Sayers' characters that I have to have, and then the interaction with the kids. So it's been fun.
That's good. That's great to hear. We'll get to you in just a second.
Yeah, don't worry.
And Jim, as we're going through and asking everybody what they like about the role and what they're enjoying about playing this character, I'm curious about for you, Jim, what is it that you're enjoying about playing this role?
I'm not going to lie to you. This is a stretch for me because I kind of feel myself more suited to comedy. And this is definitely, although the beginning of the show is very comedic, if that's a word.
It works.
It works.
There's a lot of light moments.
But mine is, it's a tearjerker thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one that brings the tears. And so that's a total and complete stretch for me to literally step out of my comfort zone as a person who thinks they're funny get into a serious role to make people want to break down and cry. But it's a lot of fun.
I think that those of us have played characters like that get what he means. It's odd to say, but it can be, a release. It can be kind of fun to play somebody very different than yourself or somebody, different than you're used to playing.
Yeah.
In every role in this play, all the adults have their sad moments. It's just that every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Jim winds it up at the end.
Yeah, I'm the one that brings all the sad together and puts it in.
Well, he's
basket.
The Raleigh Fingers. He's the closer.
I like to put it, it's a thought-provoking play.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah, this time of year is thought provoking. This time of year creates memories
except
and
for
thoughts.
Anne's character, who's not thought provoking at all.
She just throws it out there.
She's doing a great job.
Let's take that segue and go right to Anne. Anne, what are you enjoying about playing the character?
Well, like I said, it's a fun role. It's I've got some really fun lines and I get to be really goofy, which I like to make people laugh. So sorry, I took that away from you, Jim.
Yeah.
But I read the play before auditioning because I had not heard of it. Mm. And it is a wonderful story. It's a sweet story. It's got fun. It's got memories. It's got real life stuff's happening. Mm-hmm. And, versus the last production I was in was Streetcar, which is pretty much dark throughout it. And really, I love doing the Christmas shows. Ironically, I really love them because we're working with kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's an experience.
And this is not just an Elton John song.
That's good.
It's
nice
a play.
Comments.
It's
nice
a play.
Comment.
Leave it to Phil.
Chris, I don't want to go to you because I don't want a chance of you spoiling anything or making you spoil anything.
But I won't.
Tell us a little bit about your role. What you're enjoying about the role, I should say.
Director Deb, she's told me, she said, I had kind of had you pegged for this role. And I appreciate that. And like I said, he's more of a grandfather type, and
he
you
is
know,
a grandfather.
Yeah, he is. And so I really enjoy taking the character and putting some a lot of empathy into the character. He feels for everyone and what they're going through, that type of thing. So that's what I really do enjoy about it.
Very cool. Appreciate that. So, gang, one of the things that I wanted to get to with all of you before we wrap up, and again, we are talking about the WRCT holiday production of A Candle in the Wind. It premieres December 8th and 9th and 14th and 15th and 16th. 7 o'clock shows. December 16th has a 2 o'clock matinee. More on those details in a little bit, but you can find out that information at wrctheater.org. Go there right now and bookmark that page. Get your tickets. This is a holiday show, and I'm a little curious about the differences between doing a quote-unquote regular season show and a holiday show. I've only done the 101 roles I've done. I've done one holiday show. That's it.
And that's because we roped you in.
But I'll tell you, you know, Phil, and you know this, you were there. It was maybe the most memorable experience I'll ever have in theater. And certainly because of some of the factors that played into it and everything. But mostly it was because of that cast and that feeling. And I really feel like same scenario. I jump in a week or two before the show. If it's the fall show, if it's the first show of the season, I don't think it's the same. Like a Christmas show, there's a different vibe on the set. There's a different vibe in the rehearsals and everything. Do you guys feel that as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Phil, you've done as you mentioned, this is kind of your wheelhouse. You've been doing a lot of these shows.
Where I go.
You have done regular season shows before. What is a big difference to you between the two?
The feeling, of course, the season is the season, right? Of Christmas, and so people are in a better mood. People are ready to have a good time and have a lot more fun. Not that you don't in a normal show, and we're blessed with so many good people that belong to WRCT and people that, again, that work in the back or in the front. So there's always a sense of community, but I think it just gets a lot stronger at Christmas time. And there's usually more kids involved in the Christmas shows, too, so that changes the vibe as well, as far as the energy and the happiness running around.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's just a lot lighter feeling.
Yeah.
That was my thought, too. The big difference is kids. We have kids in the cast. So.
They you can't help but feel young around kids and not help but feel a little
I'm
bit.
I'm still feeling like I'm 40 years old.
Jim, same question for you, but a little different because you do work behind the scenes so much and you are a part of the set building design so much. How has it been different for you as far as that goes, as far as like kind of setting this up? Has it been any different or just the same old thing what you guys been doing?
I'm going to be honest. For me, it's the same-o. In part because I didn't do Miracle last year. I built the set, but I was not backstage. So I was never a part of that Christmas vibe, per se.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's just you know, one. It's a continual year-round vibe. One show goes into another, different cast of characters, but it's the same level of energy backstage. And with the actors on stage, they bring it backstage. And so that's kind of my take on it.
That's really cool, actually. Yeah. I think that's really cool. That's
fun.
Interesting.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, very cool. And how about for you? And first, have you done you've done other shows, so you know what it's like between the two differences.
That's correct. I was mother in the Best Christmas Pageant Ever, which was 4 years ago, pre-COVID. I really didn't mean to say we have to cancel Christmas, and it was canceled the next year.
That's hard to fall on you there.
So I took a little smaller role last year in Miracle on 34th Street, but I'd been on regular season shows. I've been in musicals from years ago in WRCT. Christmas is my favorite. You know, you're kind of in the spirit of the season. Again, you got the kids involved, mm-hmm. which was rare on the other seasons. For reasons beyond.
Right. Right. Chris, how about for you?
I do really enjoy the holiday shows. It definitely is a different atmosphere on stage and backstage. And, it's, I don't know how else to put it real strongly other than you can tell just the feeling. You still feel like there's Christmas or like there's the holidays. So I like that.
Yeah. Well said, all of you. As we're wrapping up, got about 2-3 minutes left here. One of the things that we do with this company is we certainly want to entertain the community and put back into the community. The other thing we want to always do is encourage every single person out there to be a part of things at WRCT. There is no such thing as, oh, I can't act or I can't do this or whatever. You can do it. You can do it. We've got a billion examples in WRCT history of people that never thought they could be on that stage. And for years, you see them out there acting. And same thing behind the scenes. We've got a good collection here of people that have told you about stories behind the scenes and on stage and that. So as if you were talking to somebody, you have an opportunity to talk to somebody out there that's on the fence. They want to join, but maybe they're not sure or anything like that. How would you encourage people to be a part of things at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater or wherever the community theater is at that they're listening, Phil?
Wow, a lot of people have that initial fear, but boy, it gets broken quickly if you get to know the theater people, the people involved, the ease, the comfortableness that you feel when you're with these people is second to none. It's people wanting to help each other. It's mm-hmm. not a competition. Mm-hmm. It's let's do this together type of thing and make it the best we can. And again, we're a local community theater. We're not Broadway. We do the best what we got, but man, we try as hard as we can, right, to make it a real good show and worth the money that people are paying.
Yeah, I'll take effort over talent every day. Yeah, every mm-hmm. single day. Yes. I've worked with plenty of quote unquote talented actors and everything like that. I'll take put the diva aside and I'll take anybody who just puts their heart into it every day.
Just come try. You know, just come and try. You'll love it. It's one of those things you get the bug in you and then you don't want to stop. You know, with everybody here, we've all been in other shows and. Yeah, I have to fight not wanting to go try out it for every show because it's so fun. Yeah. But you know, there's only so much time in the world.
Yes.
You have family. You have other things. But I'm telling you, if you come and just even to the theater and watch the show and see the people involved, once you get hooked in, you'll love it.
Well said. Yeah. Anybody else want to comment on that?
I just want to. When I was in Heaven Can Wait, and I was a lead character, and we needed some. People to play just ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You were one of them, weren't you? Exactly. And so we needed some more people, and I went home and I said to my wife, who said, I'll never do it. I'll support you, but I'll never do it. I said, hey, you want to play a dead person? And she did. Yeah, she was on stage for that show.
We had so much fun with that, too.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. And you know, I mentioned this when our Southwick County Humane Society joins us with our Pet of the Week every week, that your new best friend is waiting for you there. Your new family is waiting for you at WRCT.
Absolutely.
You can't do a show there, and it's potato chips. You can't do just one. You are going to go back and back and back.
Yeah, and the memories you make and the people you meet, they never go away. They're friends for life. You know,
definitely the camaraderie.
all of you have a great time. Break a leg. Enjoy yourselves out there. Looking forward to seeing you on that stage. Say hi to the stage for me, please. I miss it.
It's waiting for you. It's waiting for you.
And get your tickets right now. Go to WRCtheater.org. WRCtheater.org. The first show is December 8th. They've got one in the 9th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Those are all 7 o'clock shows. On December 16th, there's a 2 o'clock matinee as well. Break a leg, you guys. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you, you all. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement
at arborday.org.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes
WFHR,
desperate search for
Wisconsin
programs.
Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.